Welcome to the Construction Influencer Podcast, where we talk about leadership in construction. I'm your host, Nicole Sanchez. With me today is Jesse Yerquidi from P2S Engineering. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for being here. I'm in your building, so thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down.
I've been really excited to have this moment with you, or this, you know, however long it takes us, 25 minutes or so to chat, because there's so many things that I've been running through my head thinking about what we can talk about, because you're very dynamic. So before we get into Jesse and leadership, why don't you just give us a quick 30 seconds on P2S?
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming down and having me on here. P2S is a mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire protection engineering consulting firm with divisions and services that also have commissioning, construction management. And we are currently in 4 offices in California, 1 in Seattle, and we have about 263 employees. And the P2s are, the two P's are Kevin and Kent Peterson, and formerly Johnson Soka, who's now retired. And as long as I've been here, going on 29 years.
Yeah, 28.8 or 6 years.
Yeah, 28.8 years.
Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. That's such an achievement.
We the leadership likes to reinvent the company probably every 5 years to give it a fresh new look, a fresh new culture, and move the company forward, not just in employees and how they're trained and how they're developed, but the culture of the construction and design industry as well.
That's interesting. And we will talk a little bit more about culture, especially in P2, because I know that you guys have been named the best place to work in the last 12 years or so. So there's definitely something behind that in terms of culture and how the leadership is such here that allows you guys to be named that. Talk a little bit about your position, exactly what you do here.
Sure. My position, I think, has morphed over those 28 years.
Yeah. Started, we were talking about how you, you know, kind of started.
Right. I tell people I've, in those 28 years, I've had 8 different positions at P2S, going from, you know, a draftsman to project engineer to project manager to group manager. And about 11 years ago, Kevin and Kent Peterson asked me to start doing business development. Because I was also in charge of our golf tournament that we give for, we hold for our clients every year. So a lot of the clients knew me through that. And then moving forward, now I've, was named the project development director about 4 years ago. And I have a team of 3, Caitlin Gilmartin, who oversees our healthcare and science and tech, and Kim Baker, who is in our Seattle office. We help build the relationships along with a lot of our group managers here. Mm-hmm. So I oversee all the business development efforts. And it's also morphed into sort of a government affairs as well as nonprofit liaison as well.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit, because you have been here for 28 years and you've played different roles and you've managed different people. You're, most of us in the industry who know you, and that's a lot of people. A lot of people know who Jesse is from P2S. What do you think is the number one trait that has been a catalyst in your success, specifically in business development?
Yeah, I think it's it goes along 3 different things. First of all, you have to listen to people. I don't know if my wife would agree with that, but listen to people, listen to what their pain points are, what their goals are, what they're looking for. Be willing to share information that will help others be successful, not just in the pursuit of a project, but even their career. You know, there's a few younger people that call me work dad, you know.
Well, yeah, and I know that you've been a mentor to people, and I think that that is part of the leadership.
Right.
Right. So listening, sharing, what else has been a catalyst to your success?
And the last one is just being very humble, just understanding that when you're elected or given a position of leadership and responsibility, that you have to understand this is not the Roman Empire. You're not Caesar. You know, you're going to be a Woodrow Wilson. You're going to be an Abraham Lincoln. You're going to be in the middle of conflict. You're going to be in the middle of understanding what people want to get done in an organization. And I just, it's funny, I just did a podcast with our younger folks, and they were asking about getting on boards and you know, being boards for nonprofit or organizations.
You've served on several boards.
I have.
You're president of ACEC right now.
Right. And I told them, I said, number one, do not be a flake. I said, make sure you show up, make sure you get the job done. And if you can't do it, that's okay. Tell them, no, I'll be treasurer one more year. I'll be secretary one more year. I can't be president right now. And too many people want to just climb to the top and be that leader, and then they want to run things their way. And next thing you know, people are not apt to listen to you as quickly.
Yeah. So. I mean, I've spoke to a lot of leaders and it seems like that same thing comes up about humility and being humble.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time when you really had to practice that? Because I think it's easy to say to be humble and to have humility, but how have you really practiced that?
I think it really comes forth when I was given the position, number one. And then when Kevin and Kent asked me to be an associate principal, I think that was a very big honor for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of times, you know, being a president of the Harbor Association and then helping the YMCA. And then when they want you to be board chair, you're in front of everybody. You're running the show. You're putting the meetings together. You're running the golf tournament. And like I said, the humility is something I think more leaders should really look at and understand.
Mm-hmm.
And over, you know, my years, I really was into military and political history and all that, you know, so you saw, you know, the empires of old, you know, the fascist dictators of old, our great presidents and diplomats, you know, Roosevelt, Truman, you know, Martin Luther King, all of them, you know, they were emotional and they're moving forward, but at the same time, you could tell they had a bit of humility,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in the end, because they were doing what they believed was right.
Well, you know? It also allows the people that we lead and manage,
mm-hmm.
To see that we're approachable. I think
Correct.
Humility and being humble, it
Correct.
Allows that little, you know, I'm open and
Right.
you can approach me and
Right.
there's nothing better about me than you. And that's really what the people that we lead need to be able to experience
Right.
and that they come to us and we can build cultures like here in your office.
Right.
You guys have a really great thing going on here.
Thank you.
We always like to talk about success, right? And people like to hear success stories and people like to talk about their success. Along with that comes challenges and failures,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
So think of the last 28 years and maybe what has been the biggest challenge and failure and how did you overcome it?
Probably the biggest challenge was really, really understanding in the business development world. That you have to really, I actually, it's funny you say that. There was a gentleman that did part-time business development. He was old school Anaconda cable guy.
And uh-huh.
One of the first, and he was transitioning out. He was retiring. And he told me, he's like, Jesse, you're going to have to understand people are going to tell you no.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's a good point. And sometimes I've been told no, or we didn't get the project. And you sort of move on, you know, these projects are not going to, you know, kill the company or kill yourself. But I think how you overcome it, it's like, okay, next time we approach that type of design build pursuit or CM at risk or study or getting on a team, it's like, okay, what do we bring to the table
mm-hmm.
to assist in their success?
Mm-hmm.
We're P2S. We're not just great. We have to show that we're great. We have to demonstrate that we're great.
And how do you do that?
And how do you do that? Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's by, of course, as you know, by experience, by, past, client engagement. But yeah, challenges is, you know, getting on the team, getting in there early, building those relationships. And some of the successes, you know, recently we won some pretty big, design build jobs. We've built our, clientele with the CSU and the community colleges and healthcare. Is expanding even more. Now we have a federal market
mm-hmm.
that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Our commissioning team and has grown a lot in the last 6 or 8 years and primarily in aviation.
Why do you think it's grown so steadily?
Just because it was a newer type of service.
Uh-huh.
And our team got out there early to demonstrate what they could do. And I think one of the little successes I had was able to figure out, get ahead of the expansion at LAX.
Okay.
And then our CX team just jumped on that and took my information and built their relationships. Now we've done CX for Terminal 1, Terminal 1.5, Terminal 5. We've done almost all the other terminals except for the Midway Concourse.
How did you get ahead of it, though? Because I think that that's such a great takeaway for people in BD
right.
that are looking to get in front of things, because that's always the challenge.
Yeah, just talking to people. And it's a friend of mine. Her name was Ashley Gitlin. She's still around. She was at Swinnerton at the time. And she mentioned to me, she said, oh, by the way, Hensel Phelps won the project. And I said, what? So I called my buddy Andy Millar over there. And he says, hey, why don't you come down? Let's talk about it. And then Andy Millar introduced me to the CM firm that runs the projects for Southwest Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then we interviewed with that firm and then we won the project.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of connecting the dots and, you know, just following up on the proposals, coming up with the right number, and it's taken off from there.
Yeah. I think anybody that knows you can probably agree that you're the master of networking, and that's exactly what that is, right? You know people, and then you just run with that opportunity, and there you have a win for the company, right? And a win for yourself as well. Let's shift gears a little bit into the leadership here at P2S. You're not only business development, which makes you dynamic, right? You're business development, and you have the skill set to be able to bring those projects into your company. You're also a leader in the company and in the industry. So speaking of just P2S here alone, what is the leadership like?
The leadership, the corporate leadership right now, we've been through growing pains the last 10 years or so. We've had to understand that the C-suite has to expand. Kevin Kent and Arvind Batra, our vice president, can't do everything. I think I've been a resource for the three of them to go out and and find out more information about different clients, different projects. Leadership here, again, it goes back to humility. And I'll give an example of that. Kevin Peterson, who was our president and CEO, he was speaking at a chamber event about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was the only one there from P2S because I was, it was a Women's Business Council. And so I went and supported him. He said, you know, this is what's very telling to me. I've seen other CEOs say, oh, Jesse works for me.
Yes.
P2S. Kevin right away said, you know, because somebody was asking, you know, when was the last time, you know, you took time off for this or that. And he goes, well, not very much. You know, Jesse works with me at P2S over here. When he said works with me, right?
Yeah.
He didn't say, you know, I'm his boss or nothing. It's more of, hey, we're all in this together.
That's right.
You know, it's not about titles. It's not about who's above who. It's above, you know, it's about, hey, this is my job. This is your job.
We work together.
Right.
We work together.
Yeah.
I just read something the other day about leadership isn't about people working for us. It's about us working for them, actually.
That is correct.
And I love that they look at it this way. Who has been your mentor within these walls?
A couple of people. I would say Kevin Moore on the Kevin Peterson, our president, more on the understanding of the corporate and training. He really got me in the American Council of Engineering Companies. Now I'm the president of the LA chapter. And there are a lot of, you know, very knowledgeable engineers, vice presidents, presidents of their company, leaders of their own. And moving through that dynamic has been very challenging, but very rewarding and very fun, actually. Another mentor for me is Arvind Batra. He is our vice president. He told me something a long time ago, and you think I network good. He networks tenfold more than I do. I mean, he comes into a room and everybody wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
And this is no slight on genders, but he told me one day, he's like, Jesse, you have to find the man. I go, the man? He's all, the money, the authority, and the need. And
so
I tell
good.
And I tell that to some of my my colleagues. And it's not of the man, it's just of the, you know, that person or those people that have that those three things. And
right.
That's how you win those clients.
It is the man. It's the person that can really get you to where you know, we're going. Who has influenced you the most?
Geez. You know, it's hard to say because so many people, you know, I run into that are senior to me or junior to me. I think the influence is how they do their research, how they approach people. I think one influence, and I can't really show it to anybody. I don't try to be very salesy when I talk to someone.
You're not.
Yeah,
I think that everybody can agree that you have a very personable thing about you that just allows people to be who they are, and then things organically go where they're supposed to go.
Influential, you know, I can't really name one person, or I could probably name a few people, but you know, a few people that I know, like I said, you know, older than me, younger than me, I see their traits on how they go after projects, who they talk to, how they talk to people, when they talk to people. And I think for me, it's a little more rewarding because P2S is a sub-consultant. So I have a wider audience with architects, owners, general contractors, you know, environmental friends and all these other people, where I think I look at it as, you know, hey, I could talk to everybody, you know, and then find out information, do favors for people here and there. And keep it kosher and just understand that, you know, my role is this. And frankly, there's some things I cannot tell people because we have an NDA or I'm on a team with someone else. And I'll tell them politely, you know, hey, I can't talk about that. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine.
They get it. Yeah, they understand.
They understand.
Yeah. Like, oh, right, yeah. in your opinion, your experience, and we did talk a little, we talked about being humble and humility, but what do you think is the most important trait of a successful leader?
A successful leader, like I think probably I'll go back to the listening thing one more time, that trait to be able to listen.
Why is that important?
Because if you don't listen, and I think it's, if you look through history, mm-hmm. right? Some world leaders, political leaders, corporate leaders, you know, if they want to do things their own way and they don't listen, they will drive themselves down sometimes on a purposeful destructive path mm-hmm. or a non-purposeful destructive path. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they have to make that left turn and sometimes it's too late because you didn't listen to everybody back three stops ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, that's what I think, you know, for the most part. And I'll give you a little example of that. We were going over our internship right now. We're hiring a BD intern. And I listed all the different tasks I wanted the intern to do. And mm-hmm. I was with my team, with Kim and with Caitlin. And Kim and Caitlin were like, well, can we have them do like a project at the end uh-huh. so they could show what they learned? And I said, oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to work them and work them and work them.
Yeah. And did they take away from it?
Yeah,
right?
I didn't think of that. I was like, oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay, let's include that too.
Yeah. You know?
But I could have said, no, I just want them to work. I just want them to work.
Right.
But again, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Taking what their feedback Correct. And implementing that into, Correct. So because then that does a couple of things, right? They feel like what they have to say matters right. and there's value there as right. team members, right? Right? So if I were to call Caitlin or Kim, I don't know Kim's phone number, but yeah. I do know Caitlin's phone number. Mm-hmm. If I were to call them today, how do you think they would describe you as a leader?
I think helpful, cool.
You are cool.
Yeah. Fearless.
Ooh, fearless.
Yeah, some things, you know, and resourceful. I say that because Caitlin called me, and it was usually she calls me about something, but she called me one day and she said, how did you get that client's attention?
Uh-huh.
Because she was following this project. She let me know. And I said, well, I kind of got their attention because I heard about it from you. I asked somebody else. Next thing you know, we were able to get a meeting with them.
How many times did it take you?
Two phone calls.
Two phone calls. Yeah. And what do you think is normal for you? Like, one what's referral. Normal for Jesse?
Geez, probably, I say that. It's funny. It's funny you bring that up. I've told this to people in the past. You know, that 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
I say when you're chasing a client, if it's a contractor, a school, a health, a hospital, I always say you're three people away.
Yes.
You're three people away.
I believe that.
Yeah. You're about three people away from getting the person you need to talk to.
So then that means if you're three people away, yeah. I know what your strategy is going to be, but yeah. I want to know from you.
Well, for me, like the OC, I can't say the project.
Yeah.
The client, I knew the contractor. The contractor referred us. The client called us. And again, that was two people away, right? Uh-huh. I didn't have to go to the third one. And then we got the meeting. We didn't get the project, of course, but we're going to talk about other opportunities that are coming up anyway.
So sure. It opens the door. It's not correct. Always about that specific project. They've got, you know, however many other projects coming in the that's pipeline, right. and that's your time to be in a courtship with them,
that's
right?
Correct.
So that you win the next one. But that's you right. are definitely the master of, and I think 3 degrees of separation is mm-hmm. probably about right. And yeah. then leveraging those separation, you know, to get you to where you want to go.
Right.
You definitely are so good at that.
Yeah. And she, like I said, she called me and said, how'd you get there? And I explained to her, I go, well, number one, you told me about the project. That's
yeah.
number one. And she was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, wow, all right. She's done it before.
I know, but
she
how do you, transfer that over to somebody else? Because as yeah. leaders, that's really what we're yeah. here for. We're here to transfer the skill set that we have developed over to them to support them in their success. So mm-hmm. how do you do that?
It's like I said, it's listening. Again, I listened to her. I called somebody else. That person called somebody for me. And then that guy called me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And then there it was.
Yeah. And there it was. Yeah.
Do you think that they easily pick up on some of the tactics and strategies that you have and then they implement and you can see?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see it. A few things right now. Our sales team recently, we have a monthly call with our president or a biweekly call with our president. And they'll bounce things off of him. They report what they're doing. And then they explain how they got there. And I could see where, you know, there's a little bit of training that comes from me.
Yeah.
I think one other thing, I'll let loose a trade secret, you know, that I use. I am a LinkedIn stalker.
Listen up, people.
I am a LinkedIn.
Here he goes.
I am a LinkedIn stalker. I try to find out, you know, from an owner, who else is linked into that owner?
Absolutely. Right?
And then what it does is like, well, hey, you know, I haven't talked to that guy in a while. Let me call him up. And then that person will say, yeah, I know him. He'll take a meeting, or she'll take a meeting, or they won't take a meeting. Or, you know what, they already use these guys. But while I got you on the phone, what are you up to? And then you end up getting a number of opportunity with them.
Right.
So LinkedIn research, looking at the way people are connected, what they're doing, is very helpful to me.
LinkedIn is a crazy tool to be able to use.
I think it needs to be leveraged a little more. I think, and most people, when they don't get on it, you know, obviously it's not Facebook, it's not Instagram, you know, it's a completely different way of looking at your connections in a professional way. And you can mine information from that.
Absolutely, you can.
And then sometimes you figure out, well, how did that architect win that job? And then you look, oh, he was connected to him, connected to her, connected to that. And you can make that inference.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it does make you say, okay, well, if I do the same thing, maybe I can win that job.
Exactly. And you can. You just got to follow those little steps. But yeah. So you definitely, I mean, you're dynamic. Like I've said a few times today, you have this natural ability to ability to develop relationships, and you do it really, really well through networking. Obviously we see what that does for you in results. You lead, you know, a sales team of a great organization. What word of advice would you give to somebody that's looking to get into the same kind of path that you have taken?
That's a great point. I would probably say the first thing I would tell them is that be prepared for the challenges and the expectations. I think in business development, one thing I learned from another organization called the BD Guild.
Oh, is that you're a professional business developer, by the way, I read.
Yeah, that was actually a great program. It went over everything in a 10 modules. One thing I learned in that program was literally business development professionals pay for themselves, because we bring in that lead and that project, and then the technical team most of the time will close it for us.
That's right.
Then that came from us. You know?
Yeah, I think that's such a great message to business development people in general, new or seasoned, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times a lot of business development managers get caught up in that they have to know all of the technical background, but really having a team of technical people that you not just, because it can be sometimes a really big task to get somebody into the door, but then really understanding that you have the backup behind you to be technical, and your value is to bring people in the door. And that's exactly what you've been doing all of these, you know, 28 years.
And one other thing, I've told this story a few times, you know, be prepared to be scrutinized or for perception from you, from your colleagues.
Like, oh yeah.
Oh, you get
and
to
no
go
no matter
play golf,
what position that always happens.
You get to go to cool events.
You never get to come to the, you get to work from home. Yeah. You're always out.
And I told some of my engineers one time, I said, okay, when you guys go to San Bernardino Community College in the morning, do your field work. What time do you get there? Oh, 7, you know, okay. What time do you come back to the office? Oh, around 12, you know. I go, okay, well, when the college asks P2S to send a representative at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday to the president's reception, yeah, this guy's going.
Yeah, exactly.
At 4 o'clock, not you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
yeah. Okay. It's give and take. But again, like you said, be communicating between the team so that everybody's clear on what your roles are and how it's important to the company, right? And just having that transparency between everybody so that there isn't that little judgment part of
And one last piece, it's funny because I talked to some of the, you know, the up and coming engineers, you know, they go, I want to do BD, and they think it's all fun.
Yeah, they think it's going to be a blast. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It is fun too, though. It is fun,
but a lot of follow up.
A lot.
There's a lot of, you know, failures and a lot of successes.
That's right.
Know? So, I mean,
and you learn to persevere. Right. You learn to just bounce back and on to the next. Right. So yeah, it is looked at as a glamorous kind of position, and it can be, but there is definitely a ton of work that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So
and a lot of events and early mornings,
later nights, you know, a lot of golfing on your end, which I know you love to do.
Yeah. A lot of driving to San Bernardino to golf and driving home or driving to San Diego. I remember I got a call from my director in San Diego. Hey, can you play tomorrow, Friday? What time does it start? 7 a.m. Okay.
I'll be there.
Got up at 4:30, drove down there.
I'll be there. And again, that just goes back to what you said in the very beginning of the podcast, which is, never be a flake. Yep. Always show up, right? If you say you're going to be there, you better be there. Always a pleasure. I love being able to spend time with you.
I appreciate it.
I really appreciate, you know, who you are as a leader and in our industry. I know people look up to you, and they're going to enjoy this podcast, some of the little pieces that you drop that people can pick up. So
my little secrets.
Yeah, your secrets. The LinkedIn thing. I mean, I wish everybody could see the value in LinkedIn, because it's a great tool. Yeah. So how do people find you if they want to connect?
They could find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram as Emperor Memo, and Twitter as Emperor Memo. I know I say that about, you know, tyrants and fascists. That's my nickname for my family as Memo. And then jesse.urquidy at p2sinc.com.
Awesome.
That's my emails.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Follow, like, and share. I'll see you guys soon.